One of the things about me is interesting. I've been a pastor now 13 years, and I can step into a room of other pastors, and I get incredibly insecure and self-conscious about myself. Because it's interesting, like when you get together with pastors, which, I mean, it happens in any industry, but when I get together in those rooms, sometimes what happens with these pastors is they begin to jockey for position, right? They jockey for, like, who's the coolest, you know, out of all the pastors, who's the in crowd, who gets the most attention. And I step into these rooms and I get self-conscious because that's just not really the game I play. Like, I'm not good at that game, and I'm not going to, like, and so I get self-conscious because I'm like, well, I don't know, like, what am I supposed to do? Well, I was at a pastor's lunch in the Tri-Cities a year or two ago. I don't know how long it was. And it was a good group of guys. And we're having tacos for lunch. And there's chips and salsa, beans and rice. Like, there's no better lunch, right? So we're eating. It's great. And then we have this roundtable discussion. We're talking about ministry and leadership. We're talking about how to encourage churches in the Northwest and see church planting in the Northwest. And I'm like, man, this was such a good meeting. We pray together, and I'm like, man, that was awesome. And I walk out to my car, and I look in the rearview mirror, and I smile. Right there. There was a whole tree of cilantro right in my front tooth. Like, I'm not talking about a sprint. Like, it was a whole tree. The whole thing was in my mouth. And I'm like, holy moly, I just sat through this meeting looking like the Jolly Green Giant, and all these guys just let me do that. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? And I have to, I got in my car, and I couldn't help but think, like, some of those guys in those rooms, like, they were my friends. And they didn't say a single word. They were my friends. Clarity here, right? I'm like, that would have been a great time to say, Kevin, you got something in your teeth. Sometimes that's exactly what friendship requires. Saying something that is uncomfortable for someone else's good. So friends that speak a truth to you, right? It can be tough, but it can also be loving. Because friends who speak truth to us can keep us from trouble, keep us from things that maybe we don't even see or even realize that we're venturing into. In fact, another story, again, this is just story time today. Shortly after planting the church, I remember I read this book about King David. And I'm like, this book was amazing. Like it was a book, like, you know, you ever have a book like you just can't put down? I know you millennials, you young people, you're like, what's a book? All right, so I had this book about King David, and I could not put it down. It was amazing. It was just like, oh, man, every page. I'm like, give me more. And I had this great idea. I'm going to go, and I'm going to turn this into a sermon series. I'm going to go, and so I did, and I started the sermon series on King David based on this book. And I remember there was an older, good friend of mine, and he said, hey, Kevin, let's get coffee. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, this has been, he's probably really encouraged. And he said, Kevin, the book that you are building this series of is a great book. It's a great book. But the church doesn't need to hear what the author has to say. The church needs to hear from you. You are our pastor. We need to hear what you have to say. What is God's word and this story stirring in your heart? Not just what some other pastor said to some other people, but what has God said to you? And I remember I sat there and I was just a little bit embarrassed. Like, I knew this man loved me. He had my best interest. He had seen God's call in my life. And he wanted to see me faithful to the calling that God had placed into my life. He chose to speak this truth into me. And I'll be honest, like, as I think back of those early days, that was a hard and honest conversation that has shifted how I view preaching. And shifted how I view friendship. The reality is, we all know there's lots of pastors out there. There's lots of great communicators out there. You can follow them on social media. But I realized God called me to preach in this place to this group of people, not some other person to speak to them. Sometimes in life and friendship, We see something in a friend that isn't going good. We see them drifting in their faith. We see them sacrificing things that are important for things that are not important. And the question is, what do we do? What do we do when we see our friends not thriving the way they should and maybe pursuing a path that isn't good for them? Oftentimes, we stay quiet, right? We don't want to make it awkward. And so, like, imagine if you've got a friend and they're heading toward the edge of a cliff. The loving thing is not to stay silent. The loving thing to say, hey, turn around. That's not good for you. It can be hard, but sometimes this is what love looks like. Yes, there's times when love looks like sitting beside someone who is hurting, and oftentimes love looks like confrontation, speaking a truth that brings healing. And ultimately, I believe that if we're going to be all that God has called us to be, we need friends in our life to speak truth to us for our healing. So welcome to Restoration Church. This is a place where we don't have it all figured out, but we are following the one who does. And it's a joy for us to do that together. I'd love for you to join us as we pursue this God together. We've been in this series that we're calling Friends, kind of looking at this idea of our need for friends. We talked about how sociologists have said that we're suffering from a friendship drought, that here we are in the most connected time ever, yet we struggle with loneliness more than ever as well. And so the idea for this whole series, that if we're going to accomplish all that God has called us to, whether that be individually or whether that be as a friend, if we're going to accomplish all that God has called us, then friendship is a necessary part for us to thrive and flourish. So we've looked at a couple different types of friendships we need. We've talked about a friendship, friends who stay when life gets difficult. Last week, we talked about friends who sharpen and encourage us to be all that God has called us to be. And today we're going to look at the friendship between the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. And we're going to see friends who speak truth into our lives. So, Corey, that's his name. Corey read to us this morning Galatians chapter 2. And before we jump in, just a little bit of background. The book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul. And it might surprise you, he wrote it to churches in Galatia, which is where the book got its name. And so Paul is writing to this group of churches, trying to defend the gospel of grace and confront some distortions that had been creeping into the early church. What had happened in the early church is you had all these Jewish people who were coming to faith in Jesus, right? They're believing in Jesus, Jesus by faith, but they also had these old Jewish customs that they were bringing into their Christianity, right? So, hey, it's Jesus plus some of these Old Testament laws like circumcision and eating clean food and these sorts of things. And so what had happened is before this letter was written, the early church, all the leaders got together for something called the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. And they all agreed, all the churches, all the leaders agreed that the Gentiles who are non-Jews, when they became Christians, they didn't have to adopt these Jewish customs. Salvation was by grace through faith alone. Clear. But old habits die hard. And so some of these Jewish believers from Jerusalem, they were still holding on to these traditions, still saying, listen, you can follow Jesus, but you also have to be circumcised, or you also have to do the clean foods. That's our context. And if you're like, what does circumcision mean? You can email me, Corey Lockbeam at restorationyakima.com, and there's a diagram, all sorts of things there. So our text, verse 11, Paul is speaking, and Paul says, when Cephas, this is Peter, when he came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, who also happened to be a half-brother of Jesus. Peter was eating with Gentiles, but when they came, Peter drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him. Even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. What we have is Paul is in the city of Antioch, and he is eating with all the Gentile Christians. He's living in the grace of freedom. There's freedom in the grace. This is great. But then when these believers from Jerusalem come with some of their traditions, Peter got nervous. And Peter drew back and separated himself. He stopped eating with the Gentile Christians, afraid of what the religious crowd would think. Like, if you can think back to middle school, y'all remember those middle school days long ago, right? Like, when you're sitting with the cool kids, you can only sit with the cool kids. If you sit with the not cool kids, like, when the cool kids come in, you're like, you can't be caught there. I mean, it's kind of where Peter is at. And so Peter knew the truth. He knew that it was by faith alone, and these traditions didn't matter. But under social pressure, Peter becomes hypocritical. He pulls back. And by his actions, he's telling these Gentile believers, hey, grace isn't enough. You've got to do these other things. And what's crazy is it doesn't just affect him. Verse 13, it says that the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically. Even Barnabas. Barnabas is my kind of guy. Barnabas loved everybody. Even he became hypocritical. This is a big deal. And so Paul steps in. And it says in verse 14, it says, when I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. This word in step means he wasn't walking straight. The gospel provides a straight path, and Peter had veered off it. So he says, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, a Jew, live like Gentiles and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like a Jew? And what happens here is Paul is confronting Peter, and he's speaking this truth about gospel integrity, saying it is by faith alone, and when you draw back, you're speaking something different to these people. And what Paul just did, and this is where I want to lean in a little bit, is Paul just gave us an example of what it looks like for us to be friends who speak truth to the people around us. And so what we want to do this morning is we want to pull some wisdom from this confrontation to see what this teaches us about how we can be friends who speak truth to the people around us. All right, Paul's example, five things. Number one, truth grows in trusted relationships, right? It's not necessarily implicit in this text, but earlier in the book of Galatians, Paul writes about his relationship with Peter. He talks about when Peter became a Christian, he went off into the desert, and when he came back, he spent like 15 days with Paul in Jerusalem. They're building this friendship. They're training for ministry. And in that time, Paul and Peter became these co-laborers. They became these brothers in the gospel. And I think that's important for us to understand because Paul's correction, his confrontation, it came from their relationship, not from a critic's heart. Right? Proverbs chapter 5 says, the wounds of a friend are trustworthy. And as we start thinking about people who speak truth and being friends who speak truth to the people around us, like we need to recognize Paul's not just a busybody. He's not going around being like, oh, you're an idiot, you all are wrong. No, truth is best spoken inside a relationship. And if we're going to speak truth to the people around us, we got to make sure we've got the relational bandwidth to back up the truth that we're hearing. Because I tell you, it's one thing to hear from a friend who cares about you, you're being an idiot. And it's another thing for some person you don't know to become, you're being an idiot. They're received differently, right? The truth grows best in a trusted relationship. Number two, love has to be brave enough to confront. Right? And I love this because this is what Paul said. Paul said, I opposed Peter to his face. Now, most of us, maybe not most of us, some of us, like when we see our friend doing something stupid, sometimes we want to avoid it, right? Sometimes, like, it'd be easier just to avoid it, or maybe to delay talking about it, or maybe it'd be easier to, like, just drop a little text message hint, you know, or a little, well, maybe, I don't know, and you know, that sort of thing. And Paul, I love this because he models something different. He loves Peter too much to stay silent. He's like, Peter, this isn't good, and I love you too much to let you continue. And he goes to him. And I think, like, that's so good for us to understand. This is what true friendship looks like. Real friendship loves people too much to let them continue down a dangerous path. Yes, there are times that love is simply being comfort. Like we saw this in the story of Ruth and Boaz. Sometimes that's what love is. It is me being Naomi, and I'm just going to, me being Ruth, and I'm going to go and hang out with Naomi because Naomi's sad. But sometimes love means confrontation. The same heart that hugs a friend of pain, in pain is also the same heart that holds a friend accountable when they are drifting into dangerous waters, right? A friend, you could say this, a friend is a mirror. The friend doesn't put cilantro in your teeth, right? The friend doesn't create the problem that led you astray. But what a friend does, they help you see what you can't see on your own. And how incredible is it for us to have friends who look out for us like that? And I want you to see Paul's courage here. Because Peter's like, he's the apostle, right? He's the leader of leaders. He's the leader of the early church. It took an incredible amount of courage for Paul to confront him. And this is what it happens, because speaking truth, it costs something. Speaking truth costs something. But staying silent costs that much more. Sometimes friendship means we step into the discomfort to prevent someone from walking into disaster. Number three, a truth worth speaking protects what matters most. Again, Paul is here, and he's confronting and speaking truth to Peter, not because of a personality clash, right? Paul's not coming in and being like, dude, you annoy me, bro. Like, stop chewing with your mouth open, right? Right? He's not irritated. He's not offended. What's he confronting Peter on? His behavior is distorting the gospel. Like, it's a big issue. It's a gospel issue. Separating yourself, essentially telling the Gentiles that faith in Jesus isn't enough. You have to clean up your act. You have to do these things to be accepted by God. And Paul's like, this is a small decision that has massive spiritual implications. That's not the gospel. And so I want you to see, like, when you and I, when we speak truth to our friends, let's make sure it's on these big, significant issues. Because we can spend a lot of time just being annoyed with people, having our opinions, having our preferences, these secondary issues. That ultimately, really, are they that important? Like we all know the story, the little boy who cried wolf, right? You know the story of the little boy who cried wolf? Yeah, oh, wolf's coming. It's not really coming. And then finally, when the wolf comes, nobody wants to listen. And that's kind of what happens when we become this critic of other people. Like, we start just criticizing every little thing, every little annoyance, every little secondary issue. And pretty soon, when we want to bring up something else, they're like, I'm not going to listen to them because they just criticize every little thing I do. I love this because Paul sets this example on, hey, when we speak truth, we want to be able to have the bandwidth to speak towards significant issues. Issues where people are hurting themselves, they're hurting the people around them, their integrity is on the line, their faith is growing cold. Those are these significant issues, these gospel issues that we want to be able to speak truth. Number four, this one is relevant for church. Honesty goes straight to the source. I mean, this is what Paul said. I opposed him to his face. You know what that means? That means he didn't go to life group and say, hey, y'all, we got to pray for Peter. He's acting hypocritical, right? It means he didn't post on Facebook and say, it is sad when leaders compromise. He didn't go to all of his friends and start saying, hey, give me some advice here. What do you think? What should I do? What did he do? He went straight to Peter. Because that's what honesty does. Honesty talks to, not about. And this is hard because we live in a culture where we are way more comfortable talking about people than we are talking to people. Like, do you realize gossip doesn't heal anything? It doesn't. Venting doesn't bring about restoration. Venting, what that does, it spreads infection. In fact, see, this is actually a biblical principle. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said this. He said, if a brother sins against you, go and tell him your fault between you and him alone. And what happens is talking about somebody, man, it sure makes us feel better. But when we actually talk to that person, we actually might make them better. There's a difference. See, love and honesty that heals always travels in a straight line from your heart to theirs. It doesn't circle around the back to all these other people trying to figure out. Honesty goes straight to the source. And number five, the goal. The goal of speaking truth is always got to be restoration, not ruin. Paul said, when I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. And in step means he wasn't walking straight. He had, Peter had, his actions had drifted out of alignment with the truth of the gospel that they claimed to believe. So Paul confronts him, speaks truth, not to shame Peter, not to embarrass him, not to chastise him, but to restore him. He's trying to get him back on track. And this is an important distinction for us. Sometimes we see somebody mess up. Sometimes we see somebody screw up and and we're quick to criticize because it makes us feel better. We're quick to be like, oh, you should have seen what they did. They're idiots. I would never do that. Right? We're quick to criticize, but we're slow to restore. Because oftentimes we want to be right more than we want to make things right. But that wasn't Paul's concern. Paul wasn't saying, I'm better than you. Paul's saying, brother, you're better than this. Let's do better. It was about restoration. See, correction without restoration, that's condemnation. And that's not what the gospel calls us to. In fact, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit, who are walking with God, should restore that person gently. Gently. Not harshly. Not publicly shaming them online. Not trying to make an example of them. But gently and lovingly bringing them back to where they need to be. That is the heart of a real friend. Someone who sees someone they care about when they drift, doesn't write them off, doesn't chastise them, but seeks to help them realign. See, speaking the truth is not about winning arguments, it's about winning your brother back to where they need to be, right? In fact, here's our little summary for this message. Is that true friends speak truth in love even when it's not comfortable, to keep us aligned with what matters most. And I think this is so significant for us to understand as we have this conversation about friends and having the right friends in our life. Like, real friends will speak the truth in love even when it's difficult. Because they're trying to keep us in line with what matters most, which means when we begin to drift, and I hate to say this, but like, let's just acknowledge, like, we all have blind spots. We all have areas that we just don't see clearly. We get distracted. Praise God for friends that love us enough to say, hey, you're being an idiot here. You need a kick in your backside. Right? This is what Paul does. He loves Peter enough to speak the truth to him, to call him back to where he needs to be. It wasn't about winning in an argument. It wasn't about proving he was better. For him, it was about keeping the gospel clear. Praise God for friends like that. Let me just ask a couple of questions kind of on this idea. Number one, like, do you have friends like this? Do you have friends like this? You start thinking back, have you had a friend speak a hard truth to you in the last couple of months? Do you have any friends that have actually spoken a hard truth to you in the last couple of years? Let me ask this question. Here's a reflection. Are you humble enough to receive the truth from those that love you? Because what happens is sometimes we're not humble enough. Sometimes we're like, no, I'm amazing. There's nothing wrong with me. And so we reject that truth from our friends. We begin to reject those people from our lives. And we're like, I don't want anybody who's going to speak anything hard against me because, hey, I'm my own captain. I can do my own thing, right? Again, we're talking in this series about having the couch. We've got to have the right people on our couch, right? And when we're talking about having the right people on your couch, I'm not talking about people that you have fun with. They're good, but do you have people on your couch that are making you better? Are they making you more like Christ? Are they making you more faithful in your marriage? Are they making you more capable of accomplishing the things that God has called you to? Again, we all have these blind spots. We have times when we've got cilantro in our teeth. Praise God for friends who are willing to kick us in the backside and say, hey, you need to go clean your teeth, you idiot. Praise God for that. And I'll just be honest, I think there's some of us in this room, and maybe this is our prayer today, is God, would you give me the humility? Would you give me this kind of humility to receive my friend's correction? Because sometimes what happens is we strive so hard to be good enough. We strive so hard to say, look at me, I've made it. I'm successful. I'm this. I'm that. We're trying to make up for some deficiency. And so when somebody comes with a hard truth, we reject it. We're not willing to evaluate ourselves. We're not willing to give an honest assessment because we think too highly of ourselves. And so instead of receiving the love from that friend, we get defensive. We reject them. We cut them out of our life. And here's what happens. When someone who loves you and cares about you, when they speak a hard truth to you, you don't have to agree immediately. But at the very least, you should listen, right? Pride makes you defensive. Humility will keep you teachable. So instead of rejecting, you got to pray and say, God, is there any truth in what they're saying? Because it's quite possible that that posture of humility save you from making a wreck of the world that you're going to regret. Right? Number two, reflection question is, is there any hard conversations that you are avoiding? Right? You start thinking about the people in your life. Start thinking about the friends that you have. Do you have that person who's drifting? Maybe distant from church, maybe getting cynical, maybe not prioritizing their marriage or their family the way they should, maybe failing to prioritize the things that are important, maybe walking this dangerous path and flirting with disaster. The temptation is, well, I don't want to create awkwardness with my friend, so I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to be quiet about it. But I heard this anonymous quote. I love it. It says, if you love me, don't wait until after I've fallen to tell me that you are worried. How many times is that what we do? Oh, dude, you just fell off the cliff. I was worried about you. I saw it coming. I just, you know. It's a little late to say I was worried about it, bro. Like my wife's car. My wife has a Honda Pilot, and it's been a great car. The thing I hate about that car, it's got that stupid lane assist thing, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're driving down the road, you get too close to the edge, and the car, get back in your lane, you idiot. I hate that thing. It's stupid. It's annoying. You know what the thing is there for? Because if I'm driving and I start to drift, I mean, nobody gets into a wreck intentionally, right? But it happens. That annoying lane assist thing is there to protect me from disaster. Right? That's what friends who speak the truth do for us. They're the lane assist. Annoying. We hate it. Turn it off. But we need it. There's a purpose for it, a benefit for it. See, if we have a real love for somebody, we don't see them going towards danger and just stay silent. And we're willing to step into that tension. To say, man, I love you. But what you're doing worries me. I see it heading for destruction. Not to be a critic. Not to be the spiritual police, but to be a brother or sister who genuinely loves somebody else, calls them back where they need to be. But here's my encouragement for you this week. Take that step. Think about that friend. Pray for them. And then reach out. Remind them of their love. Share with them what has you worried. And the great thing is, like how do you do that? You just follow the process that we just learned from the Apostle Paul. It is helpful to make sure our motives are right. And listen, we'll close with this. The reason that we can speak this truth, the reason we can receive this truth, is all because of the gospel. Like our sin was literally leading us off a cliff into eternity in hell. But God didn't remain silent. He sent his son to confront our sin on the cross, not to ruin us, not to shame us, but to restore us. He loved us enough to tell us the truth and to bring us back into a relationship with him. And so when we speak of truth to our friend, when we call them back to where what's good and right, we're not trying to win an argument. We're not trying to nitpick. We're trying to echo the gospel, reminding them that the same grace that rescued us is the same grace that is rescuing them. And so as we speak truth towards our friends, calling them back to what's good and right, let's remember that in Jesus, we are that friend who is humble enough to receive that truth, to be rescued by the gospel. Because it is significant for us to have friends who speak the truth in love, even when it's uncomfortable, to keep us aligned to what is most important. But maybe that's our invitation this morning, simply to realign. Say, Jesus, bring my friendship back under your grace. Help me to love enough to speak the truth. And help me to be humble enough to receive it. Because that's where real restoration begins. Let's pray.